Okay, good morning and welcome to the April 13th, 2023 regular meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Public participation is encouraged in person and via Zoom. Comments will be accepted during the open forum portion of the meeting. If you're attending in person and wish to speak during open forum, please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the start of open forum. If you are participating via Zoom and would like to speak during open forum, please click the raise hand icon in Zoom or dial 9 when open forum is called. When you're called upon to make your comment, unmute yourself or dial 6. For those calling in, you'll be called upon by your telephone number. Please state your name if you wish to identify yourself prior to speaking. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Thank you for your participation. We welcome you, and thank you for your cooperation. All right,
first start with item 2, which is the opening quote reflection.
Hi everyone, so I leave it on here. I wasn't sure I was gonna make it to this meeting, so I'm glad I made it. For those of you that don't know, I am 9 months pregnant. My maternity leave starts on Friday. So I'm excited. It'll be my third child, so it's not my first. One of the things I wanted to reflect on, you know, my daughter's doing a hero project right now, and so my daughter has declared herself an artist, and so one of the things that we really learned through the pandemic is, with all this kind of unstructured time, I mean, she just created these amazing collages, these pieces. It was just incredible to see her, right? She just would find stuff, like go through the bathroom and get Q-tips or, find trash and make it a piece of art. And so so she, when my husband asked her who she wanted her hero to be, she said Frida Kahlo. It's just kind of that person there. So we've been working on this project together. A little bit about, right, my, like, bringing life into this world, right, when we think about the cycle, the cycle of our lives, right? So this is the quote I wanted to reflect on by Frida Kahlo. Pain, pleasure, and death are no more than a process for existence. The revolutionary struggle is a doorway open to intelligence. And so I really see that in my daughter in terms of just the way she's put two and two together, right? And I'm hoping that, over this summer when we have some more structured time, I can also see her change because her art has changed because she's in school. She's a kindergartner. And so it's more, standard kind of drawings. It's not what we saw pre-pandemic. So we're not doing summer school this year, and I'm hoping that we can see that some of that unstructured art come back out from her.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item number 3 is monthly overview. Overview of monthly summary of commission activities.
Jane. Oh. Oh. Okay. So Norma, do you have anything that you would like to point out on here? I don't see. Yeah.
Sure. It's been a very busy month. As you will see, based on our motivated activities dashboard, we had a total of 23 total bias motivated incidents reported. And from those 23, 19, 7 were hate crimes, 11 were hate incidents. And 4 were unknown. They were initially reported at 8, but as we follow up, we couldn't really determine whether it was an incident or a crime. the superintendent back with the victim who reported.
That number is significantly higher than usual, correct?
That's why I'm sharing it, because if we look back, we've had high numbers. I think the highest we've had is 12. I saw this month and I said, there's something happening. Actually, it's my staff and I started kind of looking back at, is there something happening outside, you know, in our community that we're having to keep an eye out for nationally? Because this is a significant jump from the last 2 months. So I did want to bring that to your attention. And usually, those are the red flags you want to pay attention to. So if you hear anything, we have been having to respond to a couple of different incidents in the community. One right now, Lionel, our community engagement specialist, is working with the Human Relations Task Force or committee in Huntington Beach and offering assets from our Hate Hurts Us All campaign, because it has a couple of different incidents that were anti-LGBTQ. So they're using what we created last year from our campaign to kind of share that everybody's welcome in the community and sharing the resource on how to report. There's other, there's been a couple other spaces, but I think the one thing that I do want to highlight is that as everything is opening up now, our staff is actually out there face-to-face more. So if you look at just the list, they've been tabling at different community events. They have been going out and doing face-to-face presentations in different spaces. And we're planning out what that's going to look like for the rest of the year with some of our partners and CBOs. So we do have a couple different spaces that we're planning to be at. One is the Juneteenth Fair in Santa Ana, the Fair American Write-In also will be there as well. And there's a couple other communities who have asked us to be in their events and reaching out and offering resources.
So the reports that come in, how do they come in? I mean, are they coming in from the community outreach? Are they coming in through like calls to the hotline? How do they come in, and how do we know whether it's the outreach that just catches more in the community versus there's more actual hate in the community?
So last year, for our newer commissioners, last year, the Board of Supervisors invested $1 million to improve the way that we collect the data and the outreach of it. So we partnered with 211OC, who's, you know, have already a call center infrastructure set, and we redid our online form, and now it's available in 7 languages. We utilize their call center as a call and number for people to report if they want to use a phone and if they have different language needs, they're able to connect into that. There's an email and there's a text option. So there's 4 different places that ways that they can report, which is different from what we had before. In terms of the increase, right now it's so soon to really say this is an increase because there is an increase or it's because of our outreach. We haven't done this in a month. I think it's been a year. No, June will be a year. June will be a year since we launched the campaign. So it's really tough to say this is because of our outreach. However, I do want to say that it is indicative of there's something happening in our community, right? That there is something's brewing, especially with 23 reports. It could be that more and more people are learning about Hate Hurts Us All and these new ways to report. I do want to say that I've met with 4 of the 5 Board of Supervisors already, and I've given them this information and shared the update. So I know some of them have used that, putting them in their newsletters and putting them through their communication. So that could also be something that's awesome.
I'm wondering, and I don't mean to put you on the spot or to speculate necessarily, But by seeing this increase, I'm wondering if because this month, for the first time in, Rabbi, help me, maybe 30 years, Passover, Easter, and Ramadan all came at the same time. Mm-hmm. Was our commission, are the any other groups, or even police departments, chief, were they prepared in any way for to see a jump in negative activities? And if so, can you let us know what it might have been? Or are you waiting for the numbers?
So the numbers you're looking at are for March.
Right, I understand.
So
I'm asking you to speculate about April.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what April looked like. We really didn't anticipate this was specific when I saw it.
But you've not heard of anything like, wow, Norma, I've got three calls today and they're all against temples in Orange County or against the mosque in, you know, Mission Viejo or wherever.
I'm going to say that most of what I've heard is in schools.
Okay.
And in public.
Okay.
That's where I'm hearing a lot of noise. And a lot of it is anti-Semitic and anti-LGBTQ.
These reports, I know you're in communication with the police departments. Is that yearly or is that monthly? I mean, how do we collect that data from police departments?
So what you're looking at now, our reports are coming through our portal.
Just us.
Just okay.
So this could be much larger, actually.
Oh, absolutely. So I do want to preface that, and thank you for pointing that out, Commissioner Steinberg, that this is data that is coming through our portal. On an annual basis, my staff and I put out a letter of request to police departments, to school districts, to nonprofits, those who collect data throughout the year to share their data with us. All of this is voluntary, so some of them do it, some of them don't. But I want to say maybe 1% of police departments might send reports monthly to us, but they usually wait for that yearly report. And that's how we're able to compile our annual report that comes out in September, which right now, we're right in the middle of collecting. Actually, last week was the deadline for people to turn in their data to us. And so this is a fraction probably.
So I just wonder, Norma, if next month we see an increase, it might be worth calling Chief Kent or three or four other people who you have good relationships with and say, did you see an increase in March and April? And just see if it's kind of matching up or this is a blip, a sad blip. But I'm curious if there's a trend or not.
Chief, did you see anything or hear of anything in your area?
Nothing that stood out, but I will say, you look at what's happening in the world, specifically in the Middle East, over the course of the last 2 weeks to actually probably a little bit longer than that, about a month, month and a half, there's been a lot of tension. So for us, you were asking kind of like what's being done. We're not necessarily waiting to react to what's happening. It's more preventative. So for us, it's been a lot of outreach to the impacted groups and the community as a whole, but also empowerment. You know, specifically for Irvine, so I'm just going to speak about Irvine. You know, as our population continues to grow, it also continues to be more and more diverse. You know, a lot of different people moving from different parts of the country, the state, or the world. And making sure that they have the voice and the ability to be able to go and report these types of incidents, even if they don't know what happened, like we can at least try to be providing a little bit of clarity. This wasn't necessarily a crime, but this is something that you need to report because we do want to track it. We track it for, you know, purposes like this, you know, how we come together and prevent it from happening now.
Yes. I will follow up on that next one. This is reminiscent of when COVID hit and we started seeing an increase of anti-Asian hate. Mm-hmm. So definitely is something to keep an eye out for and we'll keep you all advised.
All right. Thank you, Norma, for that update.
Okay, next is open forum. If anybody listening in wishes to speak, if you could hit star 9 or the hand raise icon. Nobody is requesting to speak. Okay, we'll move on to item 4, which is discuss Board of Supervisors directive to develop a proposal to expand communications and outreach for the Hate Hurts Us All project.
All right, that's me
again.
So commissioners, I'm not sure if you all remember, I continue to share that there was a directive in December for me to meet with Board of Supervisors to give them an update on the Hate Hurts Us All campaign. The last of my meetings is tomorrow. And part of the directive came because there was a recognition that our current contract for staffing the commission doesn't have a line item for communications and outreach. If y'all remember, that was a significant part of our budget in the $1 million. We were able to hire someone to help us with the website, et cetera. So I think that when we reported back the increase in traffic to website, to reporting, marketing effort, and there was no dollars there, there was some type of concern and there was a need for conversation. So I met with almost all the board offices, just reporting back on the success in 6 months that we had and the need for more. And there is some feedback that has come up. And there is a directive that comes with that as well. So the reason why we need to put it on the agenda is because there's a proposal that needs to come out of this to the Board of Supervisors. So it seems, as my understanding, and Ted can back me up if I'm misspeaking here, but it looks like the amount that the supervisors are looking to invest is a lot more than they initially thought. It's not only for one line item. They're looking to a phase two of this project. So that means it's probably a little bit more than what we got the first time around, if the supervisors agree. And we commission, the supervisors want the commission's input on what that phase two would look like. How do we take what we built in infrastructure around people being able to report in different languages and now having access? How do we now push the message out to all the different communities that are out there? So I wanted to propose to the commission and the commission chair to form an ad hoc, so that way we can work out some of the details of that. I do have notes. We also, the County of Orange has been in those meetings with me on the notes of what supervisors are looking at, or, you know, what they want to see. And we have to come to with a proposal for the commission to approve in May, so that that proposal goes to the Board of Supervisors for review and approval sometime in June or July, right? So that's me just proposing that an ad hoc form, so then that way I can call it and start meeting it.
I just have a question. How much did we receive in the first round?
$1 million.
$1 million. And that was the first time in 2022.
Yes.
And do you think there's more than $1 million there? For this,
could be
helping.
Could be.
That's in addition to the $250,000 regular contract.
We can't go into specifics with the amounts that were discussed, but I will say this: I think that work can be continued with the amounts that were discussed.
Absolutely, and this is on top of what we already have. So, our current contract, I believe, is $750 or such. So this is in addition to.
Can you, either one of you, just clarify just a little bit, would the if the additional funding comes, I'll put it that way, would it be directed at the second phase only that you're talking about, or is it meshed into the whole program and the second phase emerges from that?
So it's second phase, but really the work that my team does is this. It's the Hate Hurts Us All campaign, regardless of what bucket's coming from. So right now we're pushing it with the limited resources that we have. That's our platform.
It's just not a restricted fund type of thing.
When you look at the second phase, it's what do we do beyond what we're capable of doing right now?
Right.
And I will say up front that there is a push for more marketing, like more messaging out there. So I could foresee that a big lump sum of that is going to go into communications and outreach.
And it's it's the second phase, but it's a continuum. I mean, we want to continue what was so successful so far and, see the work completely go on.
Yeah, I would just like to say that what a compliment to you, Norma, and your staff for working so hard, and also to the Board of Supervisors for being the visionary here. I mean, you know, human relations commissions across the country are kind of like a stepchild for a lot of counties that, this is symbolically good, but it's not all that impactful. And I think Orange County is really being a leader in this area with its investment and with its really backing. And so I'm really glad to hear the response. And that's a reflection of the work you and your staff are doing.
I agree. I think it's just really so exciting news. And I agree with what Rabbi is saying. Norma, thank you so much to you and your team. It's phenomenal. And to have the support of the supervisors and for them to see the validity of this commission is just really great. It's really great. So kudos to you guys. Mm-hmm. Norma and Commissioner Wang and I spoke earlier about this. And so I kind of got to jump on it and talk to a few people and check to see if they would be interested in being a part of the ad hoc. So we have people that are interested in it. I'd like to share the names and then we'll move forward from there. And it's Chief Michael Kent, Commissioner Ada Briceño has said yes, Commissioner Dot Leach, and Commissioner Amy Buck. So I thank you all for saying yes and being willing to work on this. And we're going to see some good come out of it.
Happen in timely
fashion.
So the follow-up would be that I will be reaching out to commissioners to set up meetings so that we can just start brainstorming, sharing some of my notes, and kind of get to work. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Norma.
Item number 5, hear and discuss press conference about Kenny Chu's case, 17-year-old Taiwanese American murdered due to his race in 2001.
That was Commissioner Wang, and
she's not here.
She was not able to.
I could only provide info and why this is here, but the context I wouldn't be able to speak to. But several weeks back, there was a press conference of sorts that was held around this case in Irvine. My team received a request from one of our community partners to support at the press conference. It was put by the family. There's some concerns around how the DA is handling the case. The family was not happy with some of the results. We were there to really just observe because we hadn't really heard about the case. And what I learned was that Commissioner Wang did also attend, and she wanted to discuss it here, but the context in which she was going to discuss it, I don't know. My staff, what we observed, we spoke to the partner organization. At this point, from what we can offer, there isn't much because it's still in process. It's a legal process. So our organization or our staff isn't really able to provide much more than referrals, but they've already well connected through the different organizations that are supporting them through the case. That's all I can offer for around this.
Okay. Can we continue the item so she can?
I will have to follow up with her. I will follow up to see if she wants it back on the agenda.
All right.
Okay. So the next item is item six, commission staff reports, staff change announcements, B, hate crime report update, and C, the Cairo convening on May 17th.
That's me again. That was more. yes, it's true. Unfortunately, the staffing change is coming to my team. Sarah Shekaribisu. She actually has accepted a position with the training team with the OC Human Relations Council side. So there is a job post out there. I can share with you all, if you can share with your networks. We are currently hiring for a senior human relations specialist with the focus on hate prevention. So that's really looking at developing prevention strategies in community with the hate prevention network. Partners, and also writing the report, which is a huge, huge part of the work. So until then, Sarah is still supporting the team. She's still heading up the collection of the data and formalizing actually putting together the report. But we are currently recruiting for that position. The hate crimes report update. So as we mentioned earlier, our window to return in reports closed last week. We do have some latecomers. But this year, we did things a little bit differently, and we're going to kind of go all in. So we are going to be creating a hate crimes report committee that is going to include my staff, myself, members of the commission, and then some members of the hate crime prevention network in the analysis of the data. So we're going to clean all of that up, kind of bring the data together, create all these wonderful visuals, but really have a table of folks from different communities represented to help us tell the story. And this is going to be the first year we're doing this. It's been something we've been wanting to do. We just really couldn't figure out how. And with Sarah, who's leading us out, she was able to kind of help us structure that. And next month, there will be something on the agenda to have an ad hoc forum that's going to help us with the hate crime report. And those members will be part of that committee. So just a heads up that's coming. And if you're interested, you have the commission chair's ear. if you're interested, you can let her know. So one of the organizations that I am a part of and I'm a board president for is the California Association of Human Relations Organizations. For those who don't know what that is, it's a nonprofit that is a collection of all the human relations orgs and human rights orgs throughout California. So I'm in connection with commissions from Northern California, some in LA, San Diego, and it's really more of a network, technical assistance, things of the sort. But this year, what the board decided to do was to create resource guides for commissions. There's a resource guide on how to respond to hate that's out there right now. The next one, which is connected to this convening on May 17th, is around how do you respond to conflict with law enforcement as a resource for commission. So there is a resource guide that's attached. We have a couple different subject matter experts who are going to be speaking to the topic. And if anybody's interested in attending, you can do so. It's going to be a virtual event. I will send out a flyer. Please. So I just kind of want to put that out there.
What was the date on that?
May 17th from 1 to 2:30. But anybody's welcome. There aren't any other questions. That's all I have.
All right, next item, please.
Item number 7 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you. No specific update from the association, but just kind of a personal experience of what we experienced in the committee. And Commissioner Leach talked about it a little bit at the start of the meeting. Just this past week, you know, we're talking a lot about how much hate and ugliness we have in this world. But sometimes I think we tend to forget the beauty that we have in our within our own communities as well. Last Wednesday, I was at a Passover event, beautiful event. This past Sunday, I was at a Easter luncheon. Last night, I was an iftar dinner, and tonight I have another iftar dinner I'm going to. So, you know, just sitting back and watching the communities come together and how they're mixing. It's not necessarily all of the same faith, but the different faiths, different representations of what makes us who we are coming together, I think is a good time to kind of pause and take it all in and realize that there's still a lot of good out there and how can we maximize that, especially in our roles as a commissioner. But that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Item number 8 is OCSD Interfaith Council.
There was a big event yesterday, but it was the last day of Passover, so I was not able to attend. So I don't know how it went, but I'm sure it was wonderful. There's another a bigger all-day event, half-day event that will happen in October that I announced last time. We're still working on the details. It'll be similar to what we did last year when we did our mental health day. And we had about 150 people come, and we'll do a big push for that. And just as a reminder, the OC Sheriff's Department Interfaith Council, it grew out of the OC Human Relations work with the sheriff. And so although the sheriff really staffs it mostly now, we're still very involved. And you know, when the time comes, I'll push that event to invite all of you to join us.
Thank you.
Last is announcements from commissioners.
Yes, I have an inquiry, not so much an announcement. Can someone either shape my memory or make clear to me? I was under the impression several months ago that we had discussed briefly that a new, and I want to say Senate bill that had passed, had allowed for a very limited hybrid participation for commissioners. I what's going through my head is that there could be two a year, but they could not be one after the other. And does that ring a bell with anyone else that we talked about that, or am I making that up?
It kind of rings a bell to me when you're saying that you have two a year.
Yeah.
Not consecutive, but
yeah.
I don't remember where we have that list.
AB 2449.
Oh, AB.
But there are currently two bills in the assembly. I don't know the numbers on me, but they're going to change open meetings. So there's some flexibility in those two, but we're still waiting to see how they're still in the assembly. So there will be changes coming if those do pass and they're signed by the governor, but I believe you're referring to AB 2449.
Okay.
Without getting too much into it, and I don't know what your follow-up question is, but it does allow some flexibility, but it's very stringent.
Mm-hmm.
So it does require just cause and exigent circumstances.
Right.
So it's kind of a process, but it is available.
That was basically it. Thank you for letting me ask that.
I have something quickly. On April 24th at 7 p.m., the Democratic Party of Orange County has its meeting. We're going to have it in person. And we're going to do a presentation about Armenian genocide. And we want to make sure that moving forward, equipping our Democratic leaders with the knowledge of what, you know, of what this commission does, we think we can hit a whole bunch of, every level of our community to have an awareness that, you know, it happened to both Lauren and I, and frankly, had I not been sitting here, we wouldn't have reported the hate that was against us. So I know that's happening throughout our community. We know it's happening. And so giving folks, and I don't know if there's material that we can take, Lauren and I can take with us to either disseminate that or get a, you know, or just send them to the website. What would folks direct us to best equipped, you know, the folks who will be there? I think we'll capture about 100 or so folks.
We definitely have flyers. If you want something digital, you have stuff digitally also with even bar, like QR codes. So people can use their phone. Depending on what you need, what you want.
We'll take everything you have available for us.
Yeah,
if I can take it today, it would be great.
Can I just ask a question of you just for clarification? Because I don't know if you guys maybe discussed it and I wasn't here. Did that happen? Because you said you're going to discuss the genocide. Did that happen because of your ethnicity or did it happen because of your political party?
I'm just confused. But it was Lauren and I have been continuing to receive really horrible threats. Her because she's Jewish. Me because I'm Nicaraguan. And it was because of a political decision we made that targeted us around the Armenian genocide. People's comments about it. So we want to bring awareness. We want to make sure that folks understand and have that information, you know, that happened and that awareness.
You just have access to that platform.
Yeah.
The Democrat
yeah.
Party. Okay.
Yeah. So I
just didn't know like about how it.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
I can have, you know, some of the criticism dealt with how the party dealt with issues of Armenian genocide. Mm. And so our response is make sure that the Armenian community and the community at large knows where we stand on Armenian genocide mm-hmm. and be able to present that information in leadership capacity.
Got it. I think it's brilliant for each commissioner to bring to their constituency what OC Human Relations Commission does. I mean, I applaud you bringing it to every audience as I try and do in my constituencies. Back to Lauren's first question of the morning. I think Don Hahn said for every hate incident or crime that's reported, there are 10 that go unreported. And I wonder, because our reporting is a little bit easier now, maybe we're getting to the place. And what I've said for years is being borne out that the more we put a spotlight on it, the more numbers we have, the more funding will come to fight it. And so I just think exposing people to OC Human Relations Commission in all of our venues is just terribly important. And I think probably 50% of the reason all of us sit on this dais is to be able to spread that word.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
And I don't know how applicable this is to everyone, but it's just made me think about it and what Rabbi just said too. I think a lot of us are involved with activities, organizations, sometimes it's only a singular endeavor, but it all falls not because we're commissioners sitting on this dais, as you're saying, but because it's something we do. I recently had the opportunity as the leader of Women Drivers Interfaith Group to go to an event that probably had close to 300 people there, but it was in recognition of women of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And it was quite impressive. And as you all know, I mean, there has been recent takeover by the Taliban again, and so many women are virtually locked up in their homes. And so I'm kind of thinking, is there ever an opportunity where we can share those type of events and kind of within our own circle, as it were, but then go out and say to people, you know, my friend Ada is working on an Armenian project and she's helping promote this. My friend Chief Kent is has really made an effort to employ the idea of going to different houses of worship, especially at a very sacred time for each of those separate faiths. And be able to kind of begin a ripple effect, I guess one would say, and not just keep the events you go to yourselves, but spread it out a little bit and then just see where it goes so that the message of human relations, the message of stopping hate and just kind of building relationships. You know, we're kind of living in a broken time. And so we kind of need to find a way to rebuild and renew. And I'm just wondering if we might consider that. Don't all speak at the same time.
That's some very good points. And that I think that's pretty much why we're here and what we're trying to accomplish. So maybe that's a good reminder that we should, you know, share and share with our networks and share with our friends. And but I think that's, well, that's why I'm here. That's mm-hmm. why I'm here. So I can't speak
but for maybe everyone, we but. Use this time. It's obviously I'm learning about the agenda, but you use this time to share those things like mm-hmm. we just did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we could be more prepared mm-hmm. about if we have mm-hmm. something coming up.
And don't think because it's a small event, it's not worth mentioning. It may have huge ripples coming from sure. it.
Just to drop in the bucket for what you're saying is this ad hoc that's been formed, just looking at putting together something about how do we expand the message. And this certainly is an idea.
Say that one more time.
So the ad hoc that's been formed to put the proposal together is about expansion and yeah. outreach, and this could be, you know, that's something that could be added to that. So it's a good idea.
Yes, with that suggestion, then I could talk about some events that we're hosting on the campus that are open. So next week we have a documentary screening of a documentary film called La Mampleza. And that is about the Salvadoran community who came together in Washington, D.C. To fight for a Salvadoran member who was killed by police. And so this was back in the 80s or 90s, I believe. And so we have the filmmaker coming and one of the poets who's featured and was there during the uprising. And so I think it's a lot about the community discussion, right? How does the community come together? And then how do those dialogues evolve with the police community? So we'll be having Q&A with them and showing the documentary screening on the campus at the Cross Cultural Center in the Dr. White Room on Wednesday, April 19th from 5 to 6:30, I believe is the time slot.
Is there any way that we can get that?
Yeah.
I know that there are people that are going to be interested in attending that.
Yeah, definitely. I can so send it to, who do I send it to? To Norma? And Norma can send it out to everyone?
That'd be good.
Okay. Yeah, I can send that out. And then as part of being, so I work at UCI, right? So as part of being a Hispanic serving institution, one of the big events that we just held was the Latino Excellence Achievement Dinner. And that dinner was this past week. I'm like a co-chair of it, but basically the event is to highlight graduate students who are doing excellent research. So each school throughout the campus, we have 15 schools, have to nominate a graduate student that is doing excellent research for the Latinx community, whether it's research or leadership, or shows leadership for their communities. Somewhat, it depends on, right, whether you're an MBA or in bio or school of medicine. And so each of these 15 awardees, they get this award and they get $1,000 fellowship. That's like a research fellowship that we fundraise for. And then we have some community awards, which is faculty, staff, alum, and community folks. So it's a way to really highlight what our graduate students are doing. When this first began, we only had 9% of graduates. So we have 25% of undergraduates, right? But we only had 9% at the graduate student level. And so what it did is it really brought to light to the deans and the associate deans that, not that the awardee has to be Latino, Latina, Latinx, right? But that's kind of, when you're thinking about these awards, that's who your go-to is, and you realize we only have one or two students to choose from. And so it was this light bulb for the deans and associate deans of how undiverse, right, their graduate cohorts may have been. And so since we're in the sixth annual, so from that 9%, we're at, I think, 13 or 14% now. So that's increased. And so one of the big things is about that pipeline, right? So we have the 25% at the undergraduate level. If we have this small percentage at the graduate level, how are we getting to the professoriate level if we're not really seeing them at the graduate level to reflect what our student population looks like? So.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah,
those are exactly the type of things
you want
to hear about.
That's
great.
There's one thing that I was supposed to say earlier. Mm-hmm. This is my update, and it's not my update. So next month, even though she's already offered to be on an ad hoc committee, but next month will be Commissioner Buck's last month as a human relations commissioner.
What?
No.
That's not allowed, Amy.
Her appointment is expiring then, and she has mentioned that, you know, she is going to try to retire a second time now.
Yeah.
Truly try to retire. But I wanted to make sure to announce it, because I know that we've had other spaces where people just kind of disappear. We don't know what happened. She did come to me and she did share that she's ready to kind of move on. And all I have to say is, Amy, honestly, your service to this commission and the time that you've been here, you've given so much of your knowledge, your experience, your spirit. And I really appreciated your presence here. So thank you so much for saying yes when I reached out and say, hey, are you interested in this? And for sticking it out, really, I think that your participation last year or 2 years ago in getting this proposal that we got last year was essential. So I know that we're all really grateful, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for everything.
And she saved us from COVID.
No, I didn't.
You were my guide on that. If Amy said, don't go someplace.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, officially adjourned.
Okay. How did you get on the commission? Something that I need to that.